The period of civil war has ended. It's definitely an improvement and totally not a lateral move. Join Ambassador Plek Dexeter and his intrepid crew as they explore astounding new worlds, discover their heroic destinies, and meet weird bug creatures and stuff. This is Mission to Zix.
Mission to Zix, an improvised science fiction podcast. That's ZYXX, launching September 6th.
Feed me more.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy. I am the Big Guy, Ryback, and I'm sitting here with the one, Pat Buck.
It's pretty good. You have a future in ring announcing.
Yeah, speaking of.
Speaking of that, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. I was kidding. Man, what a day. What a night.
What a day. We used to get through six of these. We can barely get through four of these.
We've done four the last three times. That's been the number.
I thought it was six.
No, the first one we did six, our first recording.
We were really organized.
I was just telling JD Michaels with the Iron Attitude with the weight belts, that I was like, doing four of these is not easy. Most people, I was telling you before, it would be ideal to be able to get together once a week.
I know.
To be as current as possible and to just, when you're doing, I don't think people can understand. This is over 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because we're here. We take breaks in between shows.
Yep.
And we drink more in between.
Yeah, I know.
And whatnot. And it is to stay current and stay interesting for 4+ hours is not an easy task. But I feel like we do it each and every time. And we know what we got to get through. And, you know, eventually we're going to get to where we can get together and do one or two every week and every other week or something and do some live shows. I think you were talking about that, right?
I'd like to. I mean, in a perfect world, we would record every week. But it's tough. I mean, I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast.
We could not be further apart. I feel like for living in the United States.
Time zone-wise, too.
Las Vegas to Rahway, you know, is quite the... You're in the new place now, though, right?
I am. I'm in Queens. I'm the new Prince of Queens. But we wanted to start this episode with
Hawkins isn't going to be happy about that.
No. Questions. We wanted to do we had the email thing going for a while. There's a lot of questions in there we have
a ton of questions. There's a lot we want to get to in this episode of Conversation with the Big Guy. I think one of the things, you know, that we talked about very, very early on in the origin stories was the ankle story.
Oh, yeah.
And that is one thing I have purposely held off on talking about. And I was really torn on do I tell it or not? And I'm going to tell it because it absolutely needs to be told.
Okay.
And I feel like I told you this earlier in the week. For me, excuse me, there's a lot of producers in WWE, a lot of WWE Hall of Famers and old timers and guys, legends. And a lot of people don't know exactly why I left outside of what they kind of heard with like the contract stuff and whatnot. But it goes way past that. And it deals with the ankle situation and how this company has treated me from day one and how we have butted heads from day one.
Sure.
So that is why I kind of want to just give clarification and let people into a situation that they normally wouldn't, you know, have access to. And
I think we're going to skip the questions. I want
no. I think and we're okay going to the questions if you want.
I don't know. Sure, you don't want to talk about the story?
Do you think it needs to be told up front?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that sounded pretty deep.
And I rely on you heavily. I told you this before to kind of ask questions because it does help me.
I think any questions would be kind of subterfuge until hearing. So talk about this. What happened?
So we go back to the next is NXT.
Yeah.
The debut of us on NXT, the eight rookies. And we eventually get to where none of us know what's going to happen with our careers, but we know we're going to be a faction called the Nexus. And for a lot of the WWE universe, a lot of the fans, they loved it. That was a great faction.
It was great.
It was underutilized and it was not used properly, and mainly because of John Cena, which fucking Mark, that's your headline for the fucking week.
Right, like, back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a fact across the board. Everybody knows it. And he did not want that to go any further than what it was going to go past.
For what reason?
Because it was working. Because
it was over.
Because it was eight guys getting over.
Yeah.
Naturally. That's why.
And it was.
God forbid guys get over naturally, which has been...
I remember you messaging me like, yo, watch Raw tonight when all that stuff went down.
Yeah.
And it was great.
That's what happens when you get a non-competitive athlete in a top position who's not used to competing in real life.
Okay.
That's what happens. So, we go back, and we were in Hawaii, and I remember messaging my dad that day, or calling him, sorry, and like, this is great. I'm in Hawaii at the beach, went and got a great workout in, tanning in the water just before the show. Life could not have been any better.
All right.
Walking, just beautiful view, and on top of the world, 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'd worked since I'd been 22 years old to get to this point. Everything was clicking finally.
You're 28 at the time?
28 at the time.
This is 7 years ago?
Yeah. And it was myself and David Otunga.
Wow.
We were supposed to win the tag team titles, from what we were told.
Okay.
In that period, against the Hearts, the Tyson Kidd and Harry Smith. So we were working them. Me and David were doing a tag match that night,
mm-hmm.
Against them. And it's one of those weird things. You look, everything was just going so great. And up until that point, the only real surgery that I've had was my shoulder surgery on my right shoulder.
That,
you know, and we can talk about that eventually as far as how that all went. But that was like something I'd had for a few years, and my shoulder got continuously worse. And finally,
you addressed it and you sat out for a while.
Yeah, I had to get it fixed. It was
a normal thing.
It was hindering my regular day-to-day life. And this, everything was great, perfect, everything clicking on all cylinders. We do a tag match, me and Otunga, or the heels, against the baby faces of Tyson and Harry. I come in, they're the tag scenario for me and Tyson to come in for the hot tag. Come in, and for that particular night, we had the entire, usually for a comeback, you'll have that pretty organized.
Sure.
And like for fast paced.
That's all you kind of talk about.
You can't really communicate going that fast.
Hey, the heat is whatever. The comeback's
going to be. Because you're going a little slower, you can communicate a little better. And so the initial two things were going to be drop kick, but not go off my feet, which I didn't give a shit about. I felt like that was a specific instruction given to me by the agent that night. But don't leave your feet on the first two things.
It makes sense. Tyson's.
Which I get it. You know, like, but I don't get it. It's one of those.
You'd rather bump?
Yeah. Rather bump all day. Yeah, because the crowd gets with it more.
They do.
They don't. The giant
there
rock.
It goes.
Like,
yeah.
And I knew that back then. But you do what you're told.
Sure.
So I come running in, and for whatever reason, and I just come running in, and Tyson drop kicked me, and my left ankle rolled over and just snapped. In three places, and I didn't know it was three places at the time, but it rolled over and I just felt a crack, 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 and I fell down, and Tyson didn't know anything at the time. He was, I wonder why I fell down, but I hopped right back up, took another drop kick, and then we did the entire comeback.
He's always had positive things to say about you too, about working together.
Then I'm always thankful for that, because I always like, he's one of the most skilled in-ring technicians.
Absolutely.
We've had of this era, and I always pride myself on just, I always just go as hard as I can.
I hate wrestling in front of him too, because I'm just like, I can never be that good.
No, he's
so good.
He makes everything look easy.
Yeah.
He's beyond talented.
He's great.
And
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And I knew then, like, going in there too, and I know that I'm newer at that point, and like, so like, I want to go extra hard too at that.
Sure.
And like, you know what I mean? And I look at it too. I always, in exposing the business while at the time trying to protect the business, like, my character at that time is the enforcer of the Nexus, and like, I can't look like a pussy.
Yeah.
And oh my God, my ankle, I'm hurt, even on a live event, because my mind, it ruins everything. Mm-hmm. So just keep going. And every step that I took during that match, I continued to break. That break, that was three places in my ankle.
Kept crawling up, right?
Kept spiral breaking all the way up my bone. My fibula all the way, my outer leg bone, I believe it was the fibula, all the way up to below my knee.
That's what happens.
Yeah, during that match. We do the match. We finish it where I believe the finish.
Because after the drop kick, like, it wasn't like you went down. You
no, kept... we wrestled for about.
What else kept happening after?
We did an entire bump and feed with spots and.
So you, like a full match kept going.
We had probably I would say another 90 seconds of in ring.
Okay.
Physicality of back, like, just back and forth of mostly Tyson getting things on me.
Sure.
There finally came a point where he covered me and I go, my ankle, I just didn't know what to do and like tell him I'm hurt. And finally, I go, my ankle. And like, he could, like, cause I was the crowd, there was points I was running still, but limping because I couldn't put all my weight on my leg,
yeah.
But I was there for everything. And to this day, he always puts it over, which makes me feel really good about the situation,
of course.
Because I could tell you this. You could put any other human being in that situation, they don't finish the match.
No, of course.
They don't. I'm telling you, that's point blank. They don't. I'm obsessed. And they don't finish. And if they do, kudos to them. But I finished the fucking match, and I'm very proud of that. Which, by the way, I've asked for footage of it. They won't give it to me.
Really?
They've said it doesn't exist.
Every
live event is recorded, by the way. But that deals with some things that we'll talk about.
Okay.
So, finally, he springboards off the rope. Boom, mead hook. 1, 2, 3, we get the finish of the match. I can't move after that. The adrenaline instantly after the clothesline finish wore off.
It's
right
done.
Away.
Yeah.
Just done. And then real life set in. Make-believe is over. And I am fucked up beyond belief. They have to, they carry me out. They help me out. I walk out still, but being, you know, helped out with a guy on each arm. They get me to the back. They get the boot untied, take it off. They cut off everything, and they load me onto the ambulance and take me away to the hospital, wherever we were in Honolulu, Hawaii, or whatnot. And everything was just kind of a blur. It, like, happened so fast. And take me to the hospital. They drug me up. They break my ankle into place while I'm drugged up. Because it was all fucking contorted and whatnot. Do some x-rays, and I don't know if they did an MRI or not, but they did everything they needed to do. They took me back to the hotel, and Kathy Morrell, who works with WWE, she was there at the time, and she was with me, and I love her to this day, and she's always been so sincere and so kind. And she's probably well underpaid and probably deserves a raise. If Hunter or Vince are listening, fucking marks. But she took care of me and got me back to catering, got me some food, and got me back to my hotel room, and then helped me to the airport the next day, which was a whole...
After the doctor.
After the breaking my ankle in place and casting it up, which was an experience in its own. So everybody, we were going from Hawaii to Japan. That was the tour. I now was going from Japan to back to Tampa where I lived. So the flight was from Hawaii to Dallas, connecting to Tampa. She got me on the plane. They flew me to Dallas. Once I got there, that's when hell set in. So I fly. They had first class. They got me like a nice seat to keep my leg elevated. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, we don't know how bad this is at this point. I broke my bones. So new. But we need to get me back to Tampa. That's what, I mean, nothing wrong has been done at this point. They fly me back to Tampa. My toes look like they're going to explode on this flight. From the swelling, the blood flow was fucked up in my leg. So I just looked down at my feet. I could see my toes through the casting. And I mean, they are 10 times the size of normal.
Really?
And I'm terrified.
It's from the flight.
From the flight. Blood clots, everything. You don't know what's going to, like, my leg is elevated. They gave me a bag, like a little paper thing of the pain pills. Nothing was working. So I'm already.
But at the same time, it's nobody's fault yet, really.
No, this is nobody.
Just trying to,
this is just an in-ring injury.
Sure.
That happened.
It sucks, but.
Sucks. And everybody was doing their best. Just get me back.
Figuring this
get
out.
Me home. Then we'll go
Let's
from there.
Let's figure this out. Okay.
So
just to be fair.
Yep. Absolutely. Which we need to be entirely.
Sure.
I get to Dallas and they, once I left Hawaii, it's out of everybody's hands. And they had crutches for me.
Okay.
And I had a 3-hour wait or something. And I'm walking around on crutches with a broken leg trying to figure out, this was at a point in my life. I just made it to my dream job and it all now I'm thinking I just got injured this early on.
I know. After all this shit, you've been
fired, rehired, shoulder
gimmick.
Surgery, come back, skip Sheffield, still skip Sheffield, but was being more serious now. Things were going. We were supposed to win the tag titles.
But
that's
the
out the window.
First thing you really got that was of substance that kind of really called that on TV. It seemed like you were the second in command to Wade.
Yeah.
That seemed like, oh, shit, there's Wade who's the leader and you're the fucking next guy up. His little general. And that was getting some legs.
He was the mental leader. I was the physical leader.
Yeah,
I always kind of put it as that. And I felt like that came across very well with the dynamic of the group that we had. And I felt like people got that. And I felt like we both played our roles perfectly in that. And that's why a big part of why that all worked, along with everybody else that added their. Gabriel was the high flyer.
He was a little. Yeah, he was this. He was the,
Everyone in Gabriel was a huge part of it, too, I feel like. And everybody was. Everybody had their role. But it was.
It could have lasted another year or two.
Absolutely. And it should have. And then you can see with the Shield, with what they.
Which should have lasted another year or two.
But that was protected. And that
they
was their
it.
Creation.
They got
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This wasn't necessarily something that they wanted to go as long for. So. We get me finally back to Tampa, and the swelling was so bad. I broke out in a little bit of scabs from the swelling, everything. I forget what it was. It was gross. The whole process. That day they had a driver pick me up, drive me back to my apartment. I had a doctor's appointment that same day. I drove myself with my foot hanging out my window of my car. I had my Nissan Altima, and I had to go to my doctor's appointment. There was nobody to take me. They literally flew me home. I'm home with a leg broken from my knee down. Well, I got to go to this appointment, and I can't. My leg, I had to literally stick it out my window.
Holy fuck.
And drive across town 30 minutes to this hospital to
Jesus
go get
Christ.
A doctor to go do MRIs or whatever they were going to do. So they do all that, and they realize it's just all broken bones. And there was no nerve damage or anything like that. So I broke the ankle in 3 places. I broke the bone from wrestling on it and continued to go. Nobody stopped the match. I just kept going because nobody stopped the match. Where now they'll stop the matches
if
somebody gets hurt. This didn't happen on that. And it's nobody's fault. It was a different period. And I'm proud that I finished the match. So all this goes on. They choose, for whatever reason, not to send me to Birmingham.
That's what I thought was crazy.
Yeah.
He told me about this. I'm like,
where everybody goes to Birmingham, Alabama for their surgeries.
For James Andrews.
For, unless there's a particularly, in particular, unless there's a good doctor somewhere else that's notably better, that's a specialist in that area, you go to Birmingham.
What was the reasoning?
There was no reasoning for this. It was, at the time, they hired a guy named Matt Smith that worked at FCW, who was... And I don't want to let personal feelings get involved in all this, but he had no business being employed by the company. He was not the right person for the job, and I'll leave it at that. But he was in charge of, he was like making decisions for me. So they had him pick a doctor in Florida, Dr. Hercevici, this guy. I'll never forget the name. They send me to this guy to fix my broken ankle and my broken legs. I'm just a guy who at this time is trusting the company.
You figure it's going
to
be...
I'm being sent to the best doctor in the world for this particular surgery. That's what I thought at the time. No questions asked, because everybody else gets sent to the best doctor.
You're going to be fixed up right away.
Yeah. So I go to this Dr. Hercevici, and I wake up from the surgery screaming in pain.
Really?
Scream like... The pain that I was in before, times 1,000.
Jesus.
Getting
Christ.
Electrocuted from my knee down. Like, so what is the hot in the hot? And I raised concerns with this Matt Smith over this. Tampa General Hospital, they came over. They literally stuck a needle in me and injected me with morphine and put me back to bed. I wake up again, how much ever longer, screaming in pain. They come over again, put Percocets in my mouth, inject me with morphine. Put me back to bed. This went on time and time again.
Holy
until
fuck.
The next day. Till the next day. So nobody wanted to just listen to me and
like hey, something's wrong.
Something's
here.
Wrong.
Like, no, that's so fine.
Yeah.
Inject
so like this is
he has a low,
problems
low
are beginning.
Pain threshold.
Yeah. Which I don't.
No, like, of course
so,
not.
But like just I'm like I'm raging because I can't, nobody's listening to me and I don't know, I can't, I'm just getting electrocuted. And like I can't explain getting electrocuted to people when your nerves are fucked up.
Sure.
But my entire, from my knee down, just getting electrocuted constantly, which was the most uncomfortable feeling I've ever been in my entire life. But they keep injecting me. Finally, the doctor comes in. I wake up and I just said, I'm not right. Something's not right.
Yeah.
He goes, no, you're going to be totally fine. This is totally normal. He goes, you probably can feel like a little bit like electrocution. And I go, yeah, but like a lot. And I'm getting, I can't, it hurts. And he goes, no, that's common with this surgery. I put a foot long metal rod in your leg, which by the way, I found out later on that I didn't need.
Didn't need it.
Didn't need it at all. And then he didn't put it in the correct way. Rather than like filleting my leg open all the way up and then like inserting and separating everything and putting it in, he like made three tiny incisions and slid it in, ripping my myofascial tissue all the way up, which is the tissue that holds your muscle in. And then he screwed it through my peroneal and superficial nerves in my knee, right below my knee.
Which is why the pain was happening, right?
Which was why I was getting electrocuted constantly, nonstop. So I, for the next 6 months and going back and forth with this Matt Smith and WWE, like, I'm not right. Something's not right. I'm fucked up. Like, I couldn't walk.
No.
I was in a wheelchair. Like, and I was supposed to be back in 4 months.
I remember telling you, like, your wheelchair, you were going to the gym in a wheelchair.
Yeah, in a wheelchair. Because I'd lost so much weight. Like, I couldn't take, I had to just get out. And I'm literally crutching myself with a wheelchair. Carrying a fucking wheelchair on my crutches into my fucking car, putting it in my fucking car, driving to the gym, and then sitting in a wheelchair.
And wheeling yourself out.
Wheeling myself around while I'm working out. And nobody was like, it just was going on deaf ears. And the medical system wasn't what it is now. And this Matt Smith was like, I'm fucked up. My leg is fucked up. Telling this guy time and time again every morning, like,
something's wrong.
And I went and got x-rays 3 months in. My bones were all healed. Like, when they said, like, so that was the whole issue, was the bones, right? So I go in there and my bones are all, so what do you think? Now I'm thinking, what the fuck is, you? That should have told them. Yeah. I went in with all bone damage. The bones are all healed, but I'm this fucked up still.
Yeah.
So, like, let's start fucking exploring what's going on.
Yeah. Nothing.
It wasn't happening. Showing up every day, doing rehab. Matt, the trainer was so lazy that he sometimes wouldn't come into the school on show days to do my rehab with me. I would drive 3 hours to shows with a fucked up leg out my fucking window to go do rehab at the fucking live event show because the lazy fucking trainer wouldn't drive fucking 10 minutes down the road to come to the school to do rehab with me. So people wonder why I'm so angry.
He's not still with the company.
No, he was fired. Okay. And like, and he is, and I'm, that's why I'm trying not to just go on a rant and just bashing this guy completely. But he was the most just disrespectful piece of shit human being that had no position, had no business being in that position.
He should have been fired. Yeah. He shouldn't have been hired. I
mean. No, not at all. Should not even have had the privilege of being around the people that he was around. And at that point in time, you got to do what you're told. I wasn't in a position of having any power of like this isn't right.
You're,
like,
you're still on the cusp of things.
Yeah. So, and just, I mean, picture, this happened at least twice every week, me driving 3 hours to live events, 2 hours to live events with a leg where I should have just been home, resting. Especially with the position that it was in. And like, and that's so what,
even though you're hurt, they'd be like, why are you
trying? I think a lot of this was nobody knew about it because this trainer was protecting himself. And I thought I was just doing like, look, I'll just come to the show. I got to do my rehab because he wouldn't go to the school.
Sure.
And like, I needed somebody to hold the bands for me to do the rehab on my foot. And like, I needed a partner to do a lot of the exercises that I was doing, which is, it sucks looking back, but I look at it and it's just, that's who I am as a human being. Yeah, it's like, so this goes on and on and on. They set up a second surgery with the doctor. It really hurts me, Buck, when you're looking at your phone when I'm talking. I feel like you don't.
No, I'm just timing it out. You did it to me before. I'm like, I'm talking about political stuff and you're like, yeah.
Well, I was looking at my alarm on my house, my burglary alarm.
Really?
Yeah, it went off. My mom, though, she lives in the two-bedroom apartment suite attached to the house. She had cleared it, but I was looking at the cameras.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that nobody broke into my house.
All right, well.
Which I apologize. But that was what was going on earlier. So I was highly interested in your political talk.
You're talking about your second surgery.
Second surgery. With Dr. Hercevici in Tampa, Florida. If you have a surgery with this doctor, do not get surgery by him, ladies and gentlemen. In which nothing. I don't even know what to this day. I don't even know what we did.
Really?
Like, I don't know what was correct. Like, I came out of it. Nothing was fixed. Nothing. Same problems that I had. The electrocutions were a little bit less than what they were before, but all the metal was still left in my leg and ankle. So we go now, fast forward, 1 year of dealing with this mentally and physically, of a 4 month injury, 3 month injury, whatever you want to look at it. My bones were healed after 3 months. I'm out well over a year. Well, we're going to bring you to WrestleMania so you could talk in Atlanta, so you could talk to the doctors, Dr. Maroon. And
sure.
And last thing I want to do is go to WrestleMania and see everybody and like, oh, how it's the same shit over
I'm
and
here,
over.
I'm hurt.
How you doing? How you? Well, I'm fucked up still. I can barely walk. How are you doing? Like, that gets old after a while.
Sure.
Like, so they bring me there. I lay low and I see the doctors, which they don't know what. Well, multiple doctors told you're never going to wrestle again. We don't really know what to think of it. Well, how about you open up my leg and take out the metal? Fucking, how about that? Like, that was all that I was thinking. So I go, well, I want the metal taken out of my leg because I was fine before the metal. I broke my bones. This guy fucked up my nerves. So they send me finally to Birmingham to
James Andrews.
No, but one of his doctors under his Dr. Angus McBride, I believe his name was, and it was his name. He no longer works there. I believe he's somewhere in the Carolinas, but he was incredible doctor. Brings me in. Three doctors told me I would never wrestle again. That I was done. Like during this period.
Okay.
I go, I'm not done. I want the metal taken out of my leg. I feel like the metal is, the nerve damage was from this doctor. Turns out, by the way, the Dr. Hercevici that they sent me to, that the Matt Smith, they had that guy that was working down at FCW.
Yeah.
They trusted this guy who had no business doing this, find a doctor in Tampa, Dr. Hrsavici at this period was sued 10 times in 5 years for malpractice.
10 times.
For 10 times, not once or twice.
Holy fuck.
10 times during this period for malpractice for screwing up surgeries.
Why would he send you there? What was the reason?
Because he didn't, because he, it didn't, was, know. He was lazy. So it was find a place to have surgery for Ryback.
Get it done.
Get it done. He had a wife and kids at home. He didn't care about, he was not involved in his job. Wow. To this day, one of the laziest human beings I've ever met. To this day. I would have to remind him of the rehab stuff to do because he was so lazy.
Okay.
But so that was the situation with that. I go to McBride and he tells me, I can't promise you you're going to have an opportunity to wrestle again. Okay. All I could do is take the metal out of your leg, tell you the damage that has been done, mm-hmm. and we could hope for the best. I said, that's okay.
Fair enough.
I just want this metal taken out of my leg. There's still one little piece of metal in my ankle, by the way, and I'm convinced that's why my big toe won't go up still. Because I'm
like, right now you have it.
Yeah, and I need to have it removed.
Yeah, you do.
Because I feel like, so, but just so you know, there's one piece, my big toe still won't go up all the way. So he takes out everything and sure enough tells me everything that he goes, there were two screws through your peroneal and superficial mm-hmm. nerve. This guy, and he told me, he goes, if you ever need me to vouch for anything, I will.
He would.
That the damage that this doctor did to you.
It's crazy.
Crazy. That, and I get mistakes happen, but like this is... mistakes.
Deadly.
Ruining a guy's life that never, I didn't need the footlong rod put in my calf to begin with.
Sure.
So why he thought to put it in and then put it in and put it in the wrong way. I had to have another, the second surgery, by the way, was to fix the myofascial tissue that was ripped my leg with the footlong rod that they put in.
Yeah.
He fixed that up because my muscles were bulging out of my leg. Like, so imagine muscle just sticking out. Like, it looked like Frankenstein, just deformed monster.
Terrible.
So they, that day, and I'll never forget this. I was maybe awake for like an hour after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think calls me at the time, who was in charge?
Laurinaitis.
Yep, John Laurinaitis, who was in charge at the time. And the phone call was being recorded. You know what he could tell? I could hear the echo on the
really?
Phone. Yeah, to this day. And he was like, well, we did everything we could to get you better, right? Right? And it was like asking me questions. I wouldn't answer because I knew. I was like, they're going to fucking fire me now.
Really?
And I was like, they did all this to, in their minds, feel like they did everything to fix me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to, now they're justified in their minds. Oh, we could fire him now because, so I don't answer him on anything. And a couple months went by and it was when Chris Masters, Johnny Prime, and I forget, there were a couple other people released.
Okay.
They had all been released during the day. I was the last one, I guess, because I was keeping up with all of it. At the time, I was at Gold's Gym in St. Petersburg, Florida. Get a call from John Laurinaitis and he tries to fire me while I'm still fucked up with my ankle. Like, now, granted, I've been fixed with everything, and like I was told that I was going to have a chance to come back to the ring.
Now, I mean, like, this is pretty iconic. No, I mean, rare. Because
it's never, by the way, nobody's ever been called and been fired and not been fired.
The only person who's been ever released while they're hurt, I've heard, was Test. He had a broken neck.
Yeah.
And they called him and they said, you're released. But outside of that, there's never been anyone.
Okay.
So, and I remember this distinctly. So go ahead.
John Laurinaitis calls me, which I'd not been cleared yet to return back to in-ring action. I just had the third surgery and I was attempting to come back from the third surgery from the two botched surgeries from that first doctor. Mainly the first one. And he tells me, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Gives me a bunch of bullshit. And to this day, I don't hold John Laurinaitis personally, I don't hold him accountable for this. He was doing what he was told in that position. And that came from either Hunter or Vince, most likely both of them. And actually, to backtrack a second, this probably came from Hunter solely. Hunter, who was starting to gain more control over developmental this period, was coming into FCW a little bit to kind of that's when I think the wheels were kind of turning to, as far as him getting more and more involved in developmental. He comes up to me. He goes, "Oh, how you doing?" And I go, "I'm feeling good. I finally got the metal taken out of my leg." And he goes, "Eventually we got to pull the plug on you." His exact fucking words.
Hunter,
Triple H, fucking, "Eventually we have to pull the plug on you," was his exact words. So remind you, and by the way, and I've Jesus talked to other Christ. People that know me, like growing up, he was one of the few guys that I actually really liked.
Yeah.
And like I don't want to say looked up to, but I liked his character.
Sure, of course.
And like I liked the whole deal. And like, so then this guy who's now the boss looks at me, "Oh, eventually we have to pull the plug on you." Now, in any other situation of a guy not performing and not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like, this was like, come on. Like, and I knew everything. I was driving 3 hours to live events to go do rehab, fucking busting my ass, trying to figure out, calling the office, telling them things aren't right, but falling on deaf ears for a fucking year. So like I'd never felt more let down in my life than that moment right there when he said those words. "Well, eventually we got to pull the plug on you." And he said it in with a high-pitched voice and fucking like, "Hey, eventually we got to pull the plug on you." And I just sat and stared at him in complete confusion and like, just what the fuck?
Do you think he's a bearer of bad news, or he just took upon himself like,
to say that to another human being, sure, that like, and to give him, in all fairness, he probably knew nothing of what I had been through and what I was doing to try to correct the mistakes of that fucking company time and time again. So, but in my mind, I knew, and it fucking not only hurt me, but it lit a fucking fire under me that I am now playing with the fucking devil with all of this. And that woke me up. That's when everything, whatever mark was in me at that point, fucking left that fucking moment in time. It was like, fuck this. I'm now dealing with this fucking piece of shit across the board with this entire company. That's what it fucking changed my whole outlook on the wrestling business forever. So, Johnny calls me in St. Petersburg, Florida, as I'm sitting there in Gold's Gym, middle of my workout, and I have to stop and cut a 20-minute promo on him on how he's not going to fire me and to tell him everything that I'd been through.
I mean, you got a piece of paper, right?
To this day, locked away in a safe.
Saying that you're released from the company.
Yeah, they fired me on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah,
really?
Swear to God.
You got that on your birthday?
Yeah. The contract that I was fired, and it was for November 10th, my birthday.
Whoa, holy shit.
And like, to people don't understand what they're like.
No.
They will, and I'm like, this is a guy that did nothing to them at this point. And fucking, you could wait one fucking day. Like, and maybe it was a coincidence, in all fairness. Maybe it was. But I've heard other instances where it's not, you know? So Johnny calls me to explain that. Johnny calls to fire me along with the other guys.
It says post Hunter, post
that post thing. That thing with Hunter, post all that. Johnny calls me to fire me. And I know you're not firing me. And here's why you're not firing me. and I told him, and I love John Laurinaitis to the, like,
you've always been a supporter.
I have, always. And like, but and I know he was just relaying, but and he was on the other end of the wrath of that, like everything that I'd been through. Mm-hmm. And I knew then and there, if I would have been like, "Yes, sir," and been a fucking mark and like,
"You're done.
Thank you guys for your time." Like, I would have been a 29-year-old guy with nothing to fall back on, who devoted his entire adult life, left, dropped out of college to go to WWE, which was my own choosing.
But your whole run would have never fucking happened.
Never would have happened. People don't understand. And so none of this would have existed unless I had the balls to stand up for myself at that moment in time and say, "Fuck you." So I had to go get attorneys and look into all of this.
At that time?
At this time. Because now I knew, well, they just tried to fire me. So then the next step was, then they tried to put me in developmental again and leave me in developmental rather than bringing me back to the, because before I was on the main roster.
Yeah, you were NXT.
NXT, Nexus. And then, like, so now it was, well, we're going to put you back in developmental, which was to put me in developmental.
Drop your pay.
To drop my pay and to let me rot, or to just let me rot and to fire me. Like, let a year go by.
and then release.
Then fire me.
Yeah.
And that, and like I saw, I already knew what I was dealing with based on the comments from Hunter and everything else. So I knew, okay, I can't let this happen now. So I got the attorneys. And so I knew, and it came down to, it's actually really, really funny how this all came about.
I didn't know you got the attorneys. I remember all of this, but
I never had to
tell me basically. On
I
the
never had to wrestle another day in my life if I didn't want to. The lawsuit that we could have brought to WWE could have brought them to their fucking knees.
Based on your ankle.
Based on the ankle and how this was handled from beginning to end. And this is what always bothered me with that is I told John, I want to earn my keep. I just want an opportunity to get over. And I told John Laurinaitis, I go, from 1 year from right now, I will be the most over guy that we have on the roster if you give me a fair shake at this. And what happened 1 year from that time?
Most over guy on the roster.
Yeah. I kept my word. Mm-hmm. And I felt so let down by all of this. And WWE, I wanted to forgive them time and time and time and time again and just believe that they were going to make this all right. And not that they had to push me or anything like that, but just give me an opportunity and not hold this against me. But deep down, I knew that by getting attorneys and fending for myself and having the courage to have an opportunity to live my dream, they were forever going to fuck with me.
Okay.
So that is what I was playing with my entire career. So I came in and I had some moments of greatness that they would give me, but then eventually they can deny this all they want, but this is fucking the truth. They wanted to fuck with me based on everything from that.
So you think there's always resentment, no matter what, from your rival, career?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why I've been very, I didn't know if I wanted like to talk about it, but I need to let people know. And I told you this before, like a lot of the producers and the agents and, old timers, if you want to call them that or whatnot, I feel like they don't understand, like see a young kid get offered a bunch of money and walk out. But you got to understand it was more than just the money and the creator. Sure. It was how I was treated during these circumstances when I was very vulnerable and like life wasn't so good. And I had done nothing but try to make a bad situation right on their end and tell them. And I would go out of my way and lie in media interviews and say WWE gave me an opportunity to come back. Time and time again, I said that doing media.
And why didn't you sue straight up for when your ankle's fucked up?
Yeah.
The doctor's there. It's not related. What happened there where you said, I'm not going to do this? What was the reason?
So WWE, and this is what I was getting ready to tell you. Hunico, who is known, Sin Cara.
Pretty nice. Threw a lot of fists.
I love Sin Cara, is one of my favorite people.
Okay.
I'll text him occasionally up there. And legitimately, so not to say that Sin Cara is like one of the toughest guys on the roster, but he's not afraid to fight.
He's not afraid to fight. Which makes you one of the toughest guys.
Which does make you one of the toughest guys because the majority of guys have not been in fights.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. Yeah. And it's not saying the guys up there, it's most people today haven't been in a lot of fights. So he grew up in a part of Mexico where like that's how you have to survive.
Sure.
He's one of the nicest guys on the entire roster, but he doesn't take any shit. And I feel like I'm a good human being. I get along with him.
Yep.
But like, if you're like, what's the fucking, the vaudevillains.
Yeah.
The one guy, I know the one guy.
Gotch is always in trouble.
He's a douchebag. Okay. Like, and I have personal examples of being up there and him saying a couple things to me. Like I wore my last day up there, by the way, true story. I wore a suit one day, a Monday, and you usually bring one suit on the road.
Sure.
For me, I would. And I would bring a different undershirt, tie, and vest for the second day. Same pants.
Okay.
But the vest was the same color of the suit jacket. And he comes up to me while I'm talking to Ziggler, my last day there in St. Louis. And he goes, hey, Skippy. Called me Skippy, by the way. Which
is really weird.
Which is weird to me because Natty Neidhart would call me Skippy.
Because of FCW.
Because she knew me from Skip Sheffield. I have five names with everyone because as whoever they first met me as.
Yeah.
But he never knew me as.
There.
No. So I always like, and I never understood why he did it. And like, I don't even care to conversate with the guy.
Sure.
But he goes, yeah, because didn't he wear that suit yesterday? And I'm just, you got to remember, this is a guy I barely talk to. And I just look at him while I'm talking.
You think that's intentional or he's just a natural weirdo?
I don't know. If so, he's like Martin Short in the fucking movie Pure Luck, where he just like...
That's a good reference. I don't know that, but...
Says the worst things and is at the wrong place at the wrong time all the time. Maybe so.
I think that might be it, to be honest with you.
Like, because I've heard of so many things, I go...
I've heard too many things where it's like, this guy, I don't know.
Yeah, where he's lacking a chromosome or two. Just like, exactly. Something's off.
Yeah.
And he... And I look... And like, it was... You got to remember, we're just sitting in a hallway talking... And this just comes up, and that's the first thing you say. I literally, me and Ziggler look at each other, and like our eyes, like, and I look back at him, I go, no, I wore a different shirt, different tie, and a different top, same pants. And he goes, oh, okay, and just walks off. Like, so when I heard that Sakara beat his ass, I was like, I totally get it. Like, whatever, I don't care what happened. I'm sure it was his fault, totally. But so. I'm in the ring. I go down. It was an FCW show day. Okay. I'm just getting back into the mix. I haven't been cleared yet I just got cleared by the WWE doctor that week to be able to resume in-ring activity. Excuse me. I'm in the ring, and I had Claudio Cesaro. He was really new down there, and I took a liking to him. We talked a little bit, and I was like, oh, I really like this guy. And we were in the ring just... rolling around, just blowing up, just chain wrestling. Great. I don't know, we were in there 15-20 minutes, and I was just getting back into it, and I felt good. But Hunico Sin Cara, who I've talked to, we would joke around, but we weren't by any means as close as we are now, comes into the ring and tries to shoot on me.
What?
So you got to know him. He's like, he likes to fight. Okay. So why not? A big guy, he wants to test himself. I get it totally. So I grabbed him, and I fucking picked him up, and I slammed him to the mat to try to shut that shit down right away. Mm. And he is a little skilled little motherfucker. When I slammed him down to the mat, he put his knee up and broke two of my ribs.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
With my own, because I picked him up, slammed him into the ground to take him down, but he put his knee up so that because he saw that I was taking him down, I was going to land on top of him, knee up. And whether he did it on purpose, it happened regardless. And we laugh about it to this day. And I thank him every day for this. Broke two of my ribs. And I just got cleared like 3 days ago. After a year and a half out of the ring.
Yeah.
And I literally said to him, I go, we're good. I get up. I fucking walk out of the ring. Fucking leave. Watch the rest of the 3 hour show. Next day, go to a doctor, get x-rays on my own, pay my own money to get it because I don't want anybody to know. Got two broken ribs.
Oh my God. So I'm thinking, God.
And like the breaks were fucking pretty fucking big.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So
it's hysterical.
Another fucking headline. Sin Cara breaks Ryback's ribs.
Oh yeah. It's full of headlines here. This one.
You actually listen to it. How about Ryback slams Sin Cara? Anyways, when I realized they were going to keep me down in developmental and what was going on, me and Hunter had a couple phone calls, and I finally called them, and this is what I knew with that, I needed to give it a few weeks to get those to heal, and I knew I couldn't say I was hurt again at that period in time.
Yeah.
If I would have, I would have been like,
Yeah. Like,
I don't know what else to like, it would have been forced to. Because if they fired me, then obviously, legally, we're going a whole other route. I always just wanted an opportunity to go back
and do something.
And live my dream. That's what I wanted. And I did. I did get that. But it wasn't the way that I fully expected it to go and everything. But I had to call Hunter, and we had a phone call in which I told him, I go, and it was very... I don't want to say it was like heated, but it was, I'm not I'm not staying in development. I'm moving back to Las Vegas. I've been gone for 7 years. I miss my fucking family.
Yeah.
And I was on the road before. I want to be treated like a main roster superstar. Mm-hmm. I'm moving home. He said, I have no problem with that whatsoever. He allowed me to move home. So I thanked, like, thank you. Like, but I didn't realize the deeper underlyings of all this, of everything that was going to happen. So I move home. They left me at home for a couple months, actually. More than plenty of time for my ribs to heal. Sure. Finally called me, all right, you're back on the road. They put me back on the road as Skip Sheffield doing live events. And eventually I got an opportunity. I debuted because I went to Vince and I said, you guys bring me to fucking TVs every week, live events every week. I'm like, I'm sick of this. Put me on TV. I don't want vignettes. I don't want anything. Put me on TV. They put me on TV like 2 weeks later after.
It's the start of everything.
Huh? As Ryback, yeah. And I remember a funny story about all that is, remember Kenobi?
Yes.
Is it Matt Kenobi? What's his real name?
Matt Martello.
Yeah.
Oh, the vignettes.
He would like, he was in a position.
You sent those to me.
No, but he was in a position to where he was like, well, tell us what we're going to do like for your debut. So like where it would eat up your time, where you type up shit to fucking that you care about. And like, obviously it goes nowhere because he was a nobody and still is a nobody and always will be a nobody because he is just the worst type of human being that you possibly could ever be, and thought he had power and treated people badly, which is why I think he's a piece of shit.
That's the saying, he treated people badly.
He treated people badly.
And at the end of the day, for a guy that got so much pull in wrestling, he treated people badly.
Treated good people badly.
Yes.
That's why I don't like this guy. And he would ask me for weird, like he would send me pictures of you in your trunks and like send me in like different poses and like where it was inappropriate. Yeah. And then I just fucking ignored. Yeah.
Does that mean?
Has nothing to do with fucking anything. It just, of course this guy's fucking in a position of fucking WWE.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right?
No. As a creative person, as an independent promoter that promotes content.
Have you ever asked one of your performers to send you pictures in multiple positions posing in his trunks?
Never.
Yeah.
I have an idea what they look like. You're like, hey, we got this idea for a shot. Can you send this picture? That could be something, but like.
In all fairness, and I could say if you wanted to see the trunks, you could just ask for a picture of the trunks on the floor.
Yeah.
Or any other.
Or, hey, what do you look like in trunks? Hey, this. Oh, okay. That looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah. I could think of a million other ways to fucking ask of like, but no. So that was one of the things going on with this guy at the time. And like, just crazy. But it's all perfect for this crazy land of wrestling.
Exactly.
Fake fighting.
I think this deserves a whole part two to it as far as like kind of, we didn't know this would go this direction, but I think there's a big part of this story left to tell. So I think let's wrap it up here until next week.
Absolutely. I think this is something that everybody deserves to kind of hear and know about, and it's why I'm sitting here where I am right now. So
completely.
Thank you for listening. You've just listened to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy.
The period of civil war has ended. It's definitely an improvement and totally not a lateral move. Join Ambassador Plek Dexeter and his intrepid crew as they explore astounding new worlds, discover their heroic destinies, and meet weird bug creatures and stuff. This is Mission to Zix.
Mission to Zix, an improvised science fiction podcast. That's ZYXX, launching September 6th.